Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody's awake. That's a good thing. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may the message that you have given me and that I'm about to deliver be pleasing to you and touch the hearts of those who hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the scripture today, that's a little loud. Bob, are you up there? It's a little loud. Okay. Is Matthew 24, verses 16 through 44. Sorry, I'm trying to talk as softly as I can to not get feedback. But about that day, or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What is hope? We tend to use hope interchangeably with wish. I hope to find a parking place near the door. I hope to have these pants in my size. I hope Jimmy will ask me to the dance. In all these instances, we are hoping, but not expecting. There is a hint of doubt in that kind of hope. That is different from having hope. Having hope is a more optimistic view, but again, it has a tinge of doubt mixed in. The Hebrew word for hope is tikva. It means to wait, to hope, to expect. It is also the same word for cord or rope, which comes from the root word that means to bind or to wait for. In Hebrew, hope is not a pie-in-the-sky dream of what may be. It's about real anticipation for something better, something you truly believe is coming. In Greek, hope is the word elpis, which means expectation. Confident expectation, joyful expectation. So you see, the hope of the writers in the Bible speak about is far more than our normal use of the word. The kind of hope we're talking about today is kind of hard to define. In the New Testament, hope, the word hope appears about 50 times. In Romans 8, 24 and 25, it says, "For this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." In Titus 2:11 through 13, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And Peter, 1 Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our passage today talks about that hope, the anticipation of Christ's return. The one line that stands out to me at the beginning of the reading is that nobody but the Father knows the day of his coming, not even Christ. It says in 36, let's see, where is it? It says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." I always thought that Jesus was the one planning it, that he was making the decision himself. But as he came a first time as a baby, he will come again as God chooses. We will be carrying on with our lives just like normal, and boom, some will be taken and some will remain. We are told to keep watch, to be prepared. Christ will come when you least expect him. Why does this sound like a warning? It kind of does to me. It says that if the owner of the house had been more prepared, more watchful, he could have avoided being robbed. Does that mean we're to stand at the door with a gun or be sure our burglar alarm is set? No, but what kind of preparation do we need to make? We need to not live like the people in Noah's day. We need to be aware of the way we live our lives. The people in Noah's day were having a great time, just living their lives, but they were not obeying God. God called them wicked. He even said he was sorry he made humans. That's pretty harsh. They were oblivious. So when the floods came, they were surprised and they were destroyed. We talked a couple of weeks ago about obeying God's will as it's written in the Bible. I believe this is the kind of preparation Matthew is talking about. He's using the thief as an example of not being ready and what happens when you're not. As it says in the passage, one is taken and one is left behind. We assume the one who was prepared is the one who was taken. So we are waiting. We are now in the season of waiting for the birth of Jesus. When God came to Mary and told her she would conceive the Messiah, she was prepared. Because it says in Luke 1:30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." How do you suppose she did that? She obeyed God and led a life that pleased him. In God's eyes, she had lived her life the right way. Now, she didn't know she was prepared. She was surprised. She felt unworthy. No one had said to her, "Oh, God's looking for a young girl to give birth to the Messiah," so she could change her ways. She was prepared ahead of time. The last thing the angel says to her is, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises." That is the hope she had as a Jewess, that the Messiah would come. She never doubted. The Jews had been waiting and hoping for the Messiah for thousands of years. She replied, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her hope was strong. In this day and age, hope seems impossible. We see the wars that are taking place. We see the suffering around the world and right here in Lincoln. We see the people who can't afford food or necessary medication or have to choose between the two. In Lincoln Public Schools, over 50% of students are eligible for free meals. In 2000, the percentage was 29. The new project that Justice in Action has adopted this year is food insecurity. It really is a problem in Lincoln. We see it on Saturday when we're giving out 200 lunches. We see it at the food banks and the food net sites. More and more people are in need of the bare necessities. When you're in need, it's hard to have hope. Hope and faith are intertwined. Faith is an unwavering trust in God. Hope is having faith to trust his plan for us. Faith is a present trust. Hope is looking into the future. The ultimate hope of Christians is that Christ will return. Faith is trust without knowing, and hope is belief without seeing. Faith makes all things happen. Hope makes all things work. Faith cannot work without hope, and it is released through love. Hope is that expectancy that keeps our faith alive until what we are believing in happens. Our hope in this Advent season is in the birth of the Messiah. Now we are looking back on the event that's already happened. We are celebrating that event. At a time when the world was in great darkness, not too much like now, when things seemed hopeless, Christ came as a baby. This was not the Jewish concept of the Messiah. They believe that the Messiah will gather the exiles, restore the religious court of justice, put an end to wickedness, sin, and heresy, reward the righteous, rebuild Jerusalem, restore the line of David, and restore the temple service. He will be a mighty leader. And interestingly, what I read was that he will be a human being, not a god or a demigod or other supernatural being, just a man. They are waiting with unflinching hope. We believe as Christians that Jesus is the Messiah. And the reason the Jewish people don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah is he came as a baby, and they were looking for a warrior. As Christians through the Bible, we can read the life of Jesus, death and resurrection. Now our hope is in his coming a second time. It is not wishful thinking, it's anticipation. Our passage today says in verse 44, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." We do not know when the Messiah is to come. We didn't know when the Messiah was to come as a baby, and we still don't know when he's coming back. But we have hope. And while we wait, we must lead the life that Jesus modeled and that is outlined in the words of the Bible. Amen. Let us pray. God of hope, we thank you that you have given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise you that we have hope in God to the degree that we can bear our own suffering. Remind us that everything that was written was done to teach us, so that through the things taught in the Bible and the encouragement they provide, we can have hope. Grant that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.